Hey everyone, welcome to Thomas and the Bible episode 81. I'm on the Ustreams, but it's kind of comical because no one's on right now. So I'm telling I'm telling listeners to tune in to my live video from a podcast that they are listening to now from any time in the future. Could be Terminator time. Like, you could be listening to my podcast and there's those scary, like, machines that are shooting everybody and all that. I don't know what time you're in, listeners. I know when my viewers are in, what time my viewers are in, although not really, because I've saved these videos so they could watch it anytime. Yeah, so, okay, I got a couple of viewers. What's up, everyone? Feel free to contribute on the chat, although I have to try to stay focused. It's a little distracting last time. But yeah, feel free to contribute. All right, I have some announcements. Announcements and renouncements. All right, so new project that's taking over for F This Podcast, which is dead, unfortunately. I won't say permanently dead. It might be mostly dead. Not full. Yeah, anyway. To Blave. Someday maybe I can stick the... what the hell is that thing? That stoker. The thing that blows air on the fire. What are those called? Anyone in the chat? I don't know what it's called. But anyway, maybe one day I'll be able to stick that in the mouth of F This Podcast and you know, do the... breathe it in and then... it'll say to Blade, and it'll say true love. Anyway, Princess Bride, one of my favorite movies of all time. So I could just go through the rest of the movie from that point, or I could move on. I don't know. I'm 50-50. So yeah, the project is going to be called. It's me and figuring out. Yeah, sorry. It's me and a friend of mine, and who's not my brother. I'm not related to. And it's going to be called Two for Flinching. That's the name of it. And so we recorded a prologue-isode, that I'm going to try to release tonight. We'll see. I'm trying to get the goddamn website crap figured out. It's always a problem. But hopefully airing that one tonight. Now you can go to the Facebook. I don't know if you can search it yet. Oh, shit, I didn't set a custom URL. Okay, well, fuck that. This is a clean show. Screw that. Go to my Twitter, which I made. That's the other announcement. I'm doing a Twitter for Two for Flinching, and it's at WW24Flinching is the Twitter. That's kind of a joke that you'll get the explanation for if you listen to the show. So it's going to be a bit of a different show from F This Podcast. But not terribly different, just a little, the guy I'm with now, my boyfriend now has a bit of a different style than my brother, who's just a better version of me. So it's like, instead of two me's, it's going to be me and another guy who's a different style. Anyway, so the Twitter, I'm tweeting jokes all day now just for fun. I'm kind of enjoying it. I had avoided Twitter for some reason. I just didn't understand it. I'm one of those like dinosaurs that didn't get it. But now I'm getting into it and I like it. It's good stuff. So I'm thinking about making a Twitter for just Thomas and the Bible too. I don't know if that's of interest to people. So it's at WW24Flinching. And even if you're not listening to the show yet, I'm putting jokes there, so please follow me and let me know if you think I should make a Twitter for Thomas and the Bible. I could do that, maybe just tweet Bible related things from time to time and tweet when I'm going to be doing shows and all that. So that's all I can think of right now. I think that's the main thing. That's the project. It was the episode we did was really fun. It's just a short one. We're recording a full episode tomorrow, which will air on the side of caution. it'll air either probably Thursday. It'll probably air Thursday to be safe. I don't know if I'll be able to get it up Wednesday night. All right, so enough of that. We're on the Bible. We're on 1 Kings 15, which is essentially just Chronicles. Chronicles, not Narnia. It's essentially just the book of, because like every single time it says like, hey, wait a minute, wasn't this all in Chronicles? I feel like all this information is in Chronicles. Like the book keeps telling us that. And I'm pretty sure Chronicles is a book later on, right? I mean, I don't want to look ahead. I don't want to know how it ends. So it's really annoying. But yeah, we'll just go right into it. 1 Kings 15. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned over Judah. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that. I was trying to figure out why that sounded weird. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, should maybe be a comma there, the son of Nebat reigned Abijam over Judah. So what we have here is we've got essentially two. It said that it broke Israel up into 12 tribes, and maybe that's true, but it just seems like it focuses on two. It's like there's Israel, which there's still someone running Israel, Netanyahu, I think, and then there's Judah. And Judah, I don't think Judah is all the other tribes. I think they just focus on that one tribe or something. I don't know. But anyway, okay. 3 years he reigned in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father. Oh, God, I got these sins all. He kept like when you step in gum or whatever. Damn it. You know when you step in, it's been a long time since I've stepped in gum, fortunately, but I remember just so clearly the last time, which was probably like eighth grade or something. I don't even know. But it felt like, it just feels like your foot's really heavy all of a sudden. And, you know, obviously it takes your brain a minute or two to catch up. So you step in gum and then it's just like, oh my God, my foot weighs a ton. Oh, God damn it. So, it must have been like that. So he's walking in the sins of his father, stepping in the sins of his God. Couldn't you put this sin under a table or something? Which I think is almost worse. Which is worse? Honestly, because if you just throw your gum on the ground, someone's going to step on it, which is horrible. But it'll eventually go away, right? Or it just forms an eternal spot on the ground. The under the table, when you find that gum under the table, it's as fresh as the day it came out of its mother's vagina. Like, it's not wet, but it's like still looks like it just, you know, you could spray some water on it and it would be, you know, you could chew it again. That's gross to me. That's worse almost. Who are those people that put stuck gum up under things? I never once did that in my life. No one had to tell me not to do it. I just figured like that's really stupid and disgusting. And I never did it. Who are those people? There are apparently a ton of them because there's gum under every single table I've ever seen. Anyway, I don't know. Sorry to go off on that tangent. You can tell it's been a while since I've had my F This podcast. Hopefully this new podcast will give me my fix. Two for flinching. The site sucks. It's not up yet, but it's www.ww2forflinching.com. 24flinching.com. It's the most confusing thing in the world. Fortunately, the website doesn't matter because just go to the Facebook once I get an URL for it or follow my Twitter and just listen to the show. So, he stepped in the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Hey, my one viewer, you remember what Uriah the Hittite was? I have a terrible memory. If you feel like reminding me, go ahead and type that up and I'll give you credit for it. But I don't want to Google it just now. And there was a war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? There it is again. I'm telling you. And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So it keeps, like, it's not enough that it just says, like, oh, for further information on this, please see the book of First Chronicles, chapter 5. You know, it's like, come on, what are you asking me for? Are they not written in the book of Chronicles? What? Why are you, come on, like, yeah, what are you asking me for stuff? You know, doesn't it have that tone? Or is it just, am I reading too much into this? Because It really feels like that for me. It's kind of funny. So, and if all this stuff is in the Book of Chronicles, why don't we just go ahead and read the Book of Chronicles? Why is this book even in here? And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. Oh, okay, so it looks like my current viewer, Hippocampus M. Preg, I don't know what the hell that part means. So the guy was a soldier, who did I say it was, Uriah? Uriah was, I almost remember, it was a soldier in David's army, you mentioned the second book of Samuel. Thank you. That was the whole story. See, I know it's all there, it's all in my brain, but I just, there's so many different names in this book that I don't remember. Yeah, the story was, he knocked up his wife, and then he sent him to war, had him come back just to, sleep with her so that they wouldn't know it was him, put him through all these things. That was really funny. I forgot about that. I mean, I can laugh now because Uriah's gotten over it. It's been several thousand years, but for the first 1,000 years anyway, 1,500 years, Uriah was pretty butthurt about it, which I can understand. And in the 20th year of so that was David's only flaw, they're saying. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah. Did I read this already? No, I didn't. It just is. The hell? Yeah, no, it's the same. 3 years, and his mother's name was Maacah. Okay, just making sure. Yeah, it says the same thing again. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. So these people, brothers? What is the... Weird. See, the Bible, it really throws me off with all this repetition. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Well, okay, we're in the, those first sentences were parallel. They were identical. They're one of those things where they had a stamp while this pre-printing press, but maybe they had some rudimentary stamp and they just filled in this guy's name was Asa, and he reigned 40 years. And it's that's all the changes and the rest stays the same. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. So this is different. And also Maacah. What are two A's in a row? What do you say? Because with in Diablo 2, which is my only reference, they call it Baal, B-A-A-L. Baal. So M-A-A-C-H-A-H, maybe it's Maacah or something, or Mecha, probably. There's a lot of ch's. He removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by Brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. War between Asa and Baasha. We'll call it Baasha, B-A-A-S-H-A. Baal actually makes an appearance in this book. Actually, we've seen Baal and people worshipping Baal before, huh? But, there's another appearance. And there was a war. I'm waiting for Mephisto. I don't know if he's gonna come in, because we can do some Mephisto runs during this boring. This is not gonna be funny if anyone hasn't played Diablo 2, but oh well, Diablo 2. You should go out and play it. Still, to this day, it was made in 1998. It still freaking rules. Better than Diablo 3. So once there's Mephisto, once we get to his part in the Bible, we can do a bunch of Mephisto runs, and hopefully get some good gear before we move on to the next. Move on to the hell mode of the next part of the Testament. Just think, this is normal mode. We have to read this whole Bible again in nightmare mode and hell mode. And Baasha, was that where I was? I think so. Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hizion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel and smote. What the hell? So it's either capital I or capital or lowercase L. I guess we'll say capital I. I-J-O-N. That's kind of weird looking. Because it's just a line. You know, I don't know if it's capital I or... Yeah, because let's see if we can find a capital I. I. No. Do they put the little... Oh, yeah. Israel's... Okay, so it is probably capital I. I-John. I-J-O-N. That threw me off. And Dan. And Abel-Beth-Maka. So we've got these two lands. We've got I-John, four letters, and Dan. Doesn't get much simpler than Dan. I mean, maybe it could be pronounced like Don or something, just because. But I-John and Dan, pretty quick. And the last one is like just a billion letters. A-B-E-L-B-E-T-H-M-A-A-C-H-A-H. Abel-Beth-Maka. Oh, is that just a combination of a bunch of people's names? I think it is. Abel-Beth-Maka, we'll say. And all Cinaroth, with all the land of Naphtali. Oop, my air conditioning just came on. Hope that's not too noisy. And it came to pass when Baasha heard thereof that he left off building of Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Jehoshaphat succeeds Asa. The rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Oh, Judah, this is different. Oh, no, that's right. Sorry. I thought it was a different thing, but no, it's Chronicles. Of what? Chronicles of Judah. It's like a cranky old man. Are they not written in the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father.
Sorry.
And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. So, post-mature, rather than premature, I'm going to give you a post-mature warning and say that this is boring. This is crap, as usual. But toward the end, at least a significant character enters. I'm not going to go so far as to say there's anything interesting in this perfectly divine-inspired book. I don't think that's going to happen today. Just to go ahead and turn this episode off if you were expecting anything interesting, because that's not... It's not going to be delivered today. There's not going to be nothing interesting in God's perfect, divinely inspired, magnificent, amazing book. Nothing even readable today. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years.
Oh, man, double God. Double God's like a double rainbow going on.
What does it mean? And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. And Baasha, son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed. I just outsmarted myself. Any that breathed. I was thinking it was King James English. Any that breathed until he had destroyed them according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin, by his provocation, wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, guess what, folks? Do you know what's coming? Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Come on! And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, in all their days. Baasha's wicked reign in Israel. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. That's the end of chapter 15. Going to chapter 16, we have 4 chapters today. The first 2, I think, are kind of long, but the last 2 are shorter, I think, I believe. So, that's that chapter. So pretty much a bunch. The book is called Kings, and we're going to get a sequence of just boring kings who, of course, sin and do evil in the eyes of the Lord. So that's what's going on there. Not much to say. First Kings chapter 16. The heading, which I love these snazzy headings, is Jehu's prophecy against Baasha. Then the world of the world. Ah, man, I started off so well. To restart the whole Bible. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, gotcha. I can't stop yawning. This is so boring. Saying, I need to like jog. Could I do it while jogging? Maybe I could set up my laptop on a jogging machine. What are those? Do those have names? A treadmill. Be like jogging. Better yet, one of those ellipticals that all the girls do. I've never done one, but I always thought it would be cool. So I've got the arm motion going. Oh, okay. Staying awake. For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people. And then you can do this because you have the big ass handles, right? And then you let go of the handles and just do it with your leg. And the handles are still going. You can hit yourself in the face with them. I must have done an elliptical one time just for fun. I don't know how I know this. But anyway, you got those big handles. That is the elliptical, right? Anyone? Any women? So yeah, I'm doing some elliptical right now. For exalted made thee prince over the people of Israel, thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha, and the posterity of his house, and I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in his fields shall the fowls of the air eat. Keeping my heart rate up. Now, I suggest you do the same. Everyone trying to listen to this. Now, the rest of the acts of you know what's coming? Now, the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did, and this could be the Bible's catchphrase. Maybe the Bible was like, well, cut it out is already taken. Cut it out. That's already taken. So maybe we can come up with our own catchphrase. And it's, now the rest of the... Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? What are they going to say after we get to the Chronicles of the Kings? Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. What are they going to say after we've read that? We're going to be like, yeah, I know it is, but then it's on you to be repeating this. Like Chronicles me once, shame on me. Chronicles me twice. Yeah, I got a question. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Why do you keep blaming me for something being in another book? Is it am I writing this book? Is it am I asking you for this information? No, I'm just reading your effing book. So why is it my fault? Like, Chronicles is after this in the Bible, so, right? So God, in his all-knowing, you know, in his God's perfect book, he did not plan it very well, you know? He laid it out a little oddly, I think. All right. So Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Eli his son reigned in his stead. So this is just a pattern. King, die. King, die. King, die. That's about it. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being the like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. I didn't really process that sentence, because I got someone said something in the chat, which I appreciate. Yeah, Hippocampus, it is a rhetorical question until you ask it 70 times. Then I'm starting to... And with this tone, too, of, oh, is it not? Like, come on, man. Like, if I ask you an annoying question, like, 30 times, like, what, is the bread not in the refrigerator? Huh? Like, eventually, it's like, dude, I don't know. Is the bread in the refrigerator? Like, what? What do you want? It's the same question 30 times. Yeah, anyway. So what did I just read? You tell me. Okay, by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house for all the evil that he did inside the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of his hands and being like the house of Jeroboam and because he killed him. Yeah, I don't really understand what that is. Somebody killed somebody. Basically, like I said, all these stupid kings are being killed or dying of natural causes. Some other terrible king takes over. That's it. I don't think we need to read much into it until something interesting happens. The ball is in the Bible's court right now because nothing interesting is happening, and I'm not going to bother with it. Okay. This subtitle is Elah Reigns in Israel. Get my elliptical going. I'm going for a note. I need a sign that's like minutes since last yawn, you know? Read yawn sign. Minutes since last yawn. And I'd be at what? Like 3, I want to say right now. It's good. Whatever. Hey, it is what it is. Unless it is what it isn't, then we're in trouble. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign in Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him. See, so the pattern is, like, there's these shitty kings, someone conspires against them, they die. That's basically it. And he was in Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house. Yeah, Jan is a character. We should write Jan in, and then whenever I'm yawning, I'm just saying his name. Oh, look, it's Jan. I'm doing the proper Jewish pronunciation of his name. I feel like there'd be some in it. Okay, where was I? When he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha, he left him not one that pisseth against the wall, which is always, I love that one. Neither of his kinsfolks, nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned and by which they made Israel in sin, and provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah... Hey guys, you know what's coming up next? The rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the far superior book, which is not this one, the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Chronic what? Coles of the Kings of Israel. Zimri reigns in Israel. Yes. God. So each title is just a new dick who reigns, gets killed, and then the Bible is like, what? You know, Chronicles. Go read Chronicles. What are you doing here? That's the pattern. In 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri... You know, I suggest to you guys, if you do insist on listening to this terrible podcast, have something else to do, you know? Be playing Monopoly with friends or something, you know? Just something to... Because this tedium, I could not wish upon anyone. I really... It's just terrible. Okay. 7. Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired, and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went... Omri sounds like a dwarf related to, like, Gimli, Philly, Killy, all those dwarf names. Omri could, like, if... Actually, is it Dom... Isn't there... like Domri Omri. I don't know. I'm terrible with this. I don't know. Anyway, if in the Hobbit, you heard like, oh, take that to Omri. You know, you wouldn't question it. You'd be like, hey, it must be one of the dwarves related to, you know, it's Fili or Keeley's brother or something. So that's funny. Went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. For his sins, which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking the way of Jeroboam. Boy, Jeroboam is the sin that keeps on sinning, isn't he? He just like knocked out 97 people with his sins, I guess. And his sin, which he did to make Israel sin. Guys, guess what the next sentence is? Come on. Oh, nice. Someone's got the dwarves there. Dori, Nori, Ori. Oh, yeah, Dori was the one I was thinking of. I think I got messed up and was thinking like Dorney or Dormy or something. Dori, Nori, Ori, Oin, Gloin, and Omri. Omri. See, it blended in. I didn't even know you were making a joke at the end. And Omri. Unless that is actually a dwarf. It's still unclear. Yeah, you know. Dormy, there's Gimli, too. It's Gimli, though he's not in The Hobbit, right? Yeah, I don't know. I love those books, but it's been several years since I've actually read them. And then the stupid movies polluted my mind, so I don't have the actual knowledge. Now, the rest of the acts of Zimri. I put it off, but it's still there, guys. The rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? You tell me, Mr. Bible. I'm no expert. You're the expert. I come to you for knowledge, Bible. And I expect you to tell me if it's... You tell me if it's written in the Chronicles. And then, if it is, shut up. Stop talking. Don't tell me things. If it's all written somewhere else, what's... Come on. Ooh, this is time for some... We're getting some dwarf blood in the Bible. Omri reigns in Israel. So I suspect they're going to be building caves and mining, you know, finding some Mithra? What the hell is the... What's the armor that's really awesome that Bilbo has? And then Frodo gets Mithra? Something like that? Anyway, so there's going to be a lot of that mining going on. Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half the people followed Tibni, who I'm guessing is an elf, because that's the reason they had this ancient feud. Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed. Oh, the dwarves win. I wouldn't have thought that. Prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, son of Ginath. So Tibni died. Seemed like the thing to do. Oh, what? The people people beat us? All right, I'm dying. Screw this. He wasn't actually killed or anything. It was just like... Omri prevailed against that sentence. Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died. Because like, what? It's nothing. All right, I'm dead. And Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah, and he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer. I almost read Shemer because of Michael Shermer. That would have been cool, but not to be. For 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill Samaria, I guess. But Omri, Mithril. What did I say? Mithra? I said Mithra. I'm a little scatterbrained today. Yeah, Mithril, obviously. Come on, me. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. Who? No way! I thought Omri was going to be good and everything would be solved and it would be fine to this day and the book would be over. And did worse than all that were before him, for he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. To provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger with the vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did in his might that he shewed, are they not written in the books of Chronicles of Kings of Israel? Yeah. So Omri slept with his father. Okay. If it is really true that all the crap in Chronicles of Israel is just repeating this, I might just freaking skip the Chronicles of Israel. You guys all know that, right? I guess that is really old, now that I think about it, the Chronicles of Narnia video, but people know that, right? I have my sample size of 2 here in the chat. I'm going to use you to judge whether or not all of the kingdom knows what I'm talking about. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, last little one here. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over in Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, above all that were before. He went above and beyond in his evil doing. Above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took... this is funny. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter... Now it's the Bible's getting a little attitude, and it's like, and this guy, it was as if it was easy for him to walk in the steps of Jeroboam, you know. You know how that is. Sinning came naturally to this guy. So Jezebel, which is a name I seems sort of kind of recognize, isn't a Jezebel someone who does something? I don't know, something bad. A Jezebel. So this can't be good. What's a Jezebel? Someone look it up. Or just tell me, because I'm sure everyone knows but me. The daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Baal sighting. So we're still waiting on Mephisto, Diablo, another one? What's the one in, Baal's the last one, right? So we got Mephisto, Diablo, Baal. Yeah, I don't know. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Impressive. It was easy for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. They have a point. And in his days did Hiel, the son of Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Okay, so that's 16. Now we're going to go to 17 and hope that it gets a little better. That It Gets Better campaign, that really needs to be for people of who are trying to read the Old Testament. And not that it does get that much better. Okay, Jezebel today basically means prostitute, but I don't want to... Yeah, I don't think it meant that in the Bible. It just... I'm sure Jezebel comes from the... Everything comes from the Bible, really. A lot of things do. So maybe this character Jezebel is a prostitute or something? Although that doesn't sound right, because I thought a Jezebel was like a... You know when you have a meaning in your mind, but then you try to put it into words and it's nothing? Like, I know it. Like, I know a Jezebel when I see a Jezebel. Maybe you're right. But I thought a Jezebel was just somebody who causes some harm. The Jezebel is like... I don't know. Let's look it up. Maybe there's an Urban Dictionary kind of thing, or just a normal dictionary. Jezebel. Let's look at the Wikipedia entry. I just want to know. Maybe I have had a totally wrong view of it. That's totally not impossible. Cultural symbol, maybe? Is that what it is? False prophets. That's interesting. Oh, people assume she was a prostitute? That's interesting. Okay, we're learning something, people. The name Jezebel came to be associated with false prophets. Oh, okay, because Jezebel... That's what I was trying... you know, that is sort of what I had in mind. Jezebel, I think... Because I've read this reading before, I'll confess. But I already forget because it was so boring. Also, our reading today doesn't... I don't think it gets through the whole Jezebel storyline, but I could be wrong. Jezebel leads her man to false gods. That's what it is. Like, that's, and that is, I was sort of trying to say something like that, right? So false prophets further associated by the 20th century with fallen or abandoned women. Christian lore, comparison to Jezebel suggested the person was pagan or an apostate masquerading as a servant of God. But now, okay, here, this goes to your guys' point, you readers. wore makeup and awesome clothing. Hippocampus said they assumed she was a prostitute because she wore makeup and awesome clothing. Is this a reference to a movie or something with lots of cleavage? Because that's what came to my mind. But you know, that could just be my biases. Jezebel's promiscuity. The name Jezebel sometimes uses synonym for promiscuous and sometimes controlling women. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, that is sort of the nebulous thing I had in mind. I'm not going to say I had the answer because I obviously couldn't explain what I was thinking. But I did kind of think it was more than just a prostitute. I thought it was someone who led you to something bad. Anyway. So, chapter 17. Ravens feed Elijah. Baltimore Ravens, or that's, I mean, they just won the Super Bowl, so I can only assume that this chapter has to do with them. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God is of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now this is funny. So this guy Elijah, who I've heard that name before, and I can only assume that this was who I was alluding to earlier, is some sort of actual major character in the Bible, I think. And he just comes in. This is the first, you guys will attest to this, this is the first we've heard of him. And he just said, he just jumps in, there's no Elijah, right? There's no Elijah going on at all. There's just some other people. And then Elijah just, bam, I'm here. Hey guys, it's only going to rain when I say it's going to rain. That's his entire, that's how he comes into the story. Isn't that weird? What kind of a non sequitur is that? Hey guys, guess what? It's only going to rain when I say it's going to rain. So that's our introduction to Elijah. No idea who he is. Although he's a Tishbite and he was of the inhabitants of Gilead, I suppose. So he says, if we can trust what he tells us. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." Well, he was doing a good job hiding himself before this. I don't even think he needed... Does he need to hide? He was nowhere, and now he's somewhere. So he should have just held off on that big announcement of his. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Fresh off their Super Bowl victory, of course. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and tackled his ass, went through some scrimmaging, some light practice with pads, with pads, without pads. It's summer months, it's kind of, you don't want to practice in pads, it's kind of rough, but half and half, half pads, football practice, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, or tons of thirsty football players drinking from it. So, the brook dries up, and he's like, man, what are the odds? I told everyone it won't rain, and then I'm punished because there's no water. Did this guy not realize that he too needs H2O to survive? The widow of Zarephath. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, I don't know, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And he's like, is this the kind of sustenance I'm thinking? the name widow woman. sorry. The Lord smiteth my throat. The word widow woman probably does make you think of a old, old, bent over, not in a good way, woman, hag, but who knows, maybe this is a widow of a good looking dude who died of a brain hemorrhage at the age of 27, I'm planning on doing. Maybe that's this kind of widow, maybe she's a super hot widow, she's a wilf. I didn't plan that joke. Now, I'm not saying that it's the most brilliant joke, but I just realized if people thought I planned that joke, that would have been a really, not genuine, disingenuous way of making a joke. No. Anyway, she's a wilf. I just came up with that. Not that it's funny. I'm just saying it was spontaneous. I'll get it notarized. So maybe it's a wilf. Maybe it's not a... should the opposite of a wilf be a... just put not in there? Like widow, I'd like to not F. So like wilfed. Wilf. Yeah, that doesn't work. I can see why that didn't catch on. Maybe. So like a milm. Milmf. Milmf. He rose and went... what was I reading? There was no water, right? Yeah. The word of the Lord came... No, I read that. I'm sorry. And he came to the gates of the city. Behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me. He was hoping, like, please be a wilf. Please be a wilf. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he checked her out from behind, of course, like men are wont to do. And called to her, saying, are you the wilf I was told about? Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. C-R-U-S-E. Cruse? I don't know. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's seriously, I know it might be an inappropriate laugh, but that's what the sentence says. So he's asking her for food, and totally checking out her ass, obviously, to see if she's a wilf or not, or a wilmf, wilmf. And so he says, like, give me some of your food. She says, like, scout's honor. I have no food. I have, like, a morsel of food. I was just gathering these two sticks so that I could go give our last food to my son and we'd just die. Like, that's seriously what she says. She's a real downer. Look, man, I just let me just die. Let me just prepare this last meal and just die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Oh, crap. Losing about a minute since last yawn. Since yawn sign. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make for thee and for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fall, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So he says, like, look, just go make me some food. Make me a sandwich, woman. That's what he says. Look, there's this old woman, this wilf, who is just making her last meal so she and her son can die, right? And then the guy says, hey, well, yeah, you mind making me a sandwich first, like, before your last meal? And already, this guy is, he's got some entitlement issues, I think. But he says to her, just to... summarize so you guys can follow, hopefully. He says to her, like, look, the jars of your ingredients, of your sandwich ingredients that you're going to make me, they will not decrease until it rains somehow. I don't know. Some weird chemistry he's got going on there. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fall, according to the word of the Lord. It's a miracle, which he spake by Elijah. Elijah raises the widow's son. And it came, so he's raising people from the dead, he's making food, he's doing, is this a person, Elijah, that Hitchens and other people would talk about, performs all the miracles of Jesus? He essentially is, right? Because he's, I nod over to my reading, as though that means anything to you listeners. Yeah, I think this sounds familiar, because Elijah is making basically infinite food, which to me is the ultimate miracle. Maybe infinite water is somewhere in there, but, like, just infinite McDonald's, for what? If he had told me, like, if I was on my last McChicken, say, and I was gathering some McDonald's sticks to rub together to make my final McDonald's meal for me and my son. And then we're like, look, we just want to have the new McOnion or whatever the hell that sandwich is that I don't want to try because it looks kind of gross. McGrilled onion. And he said, worry not. After you pull your final McChickens from the McDonald's bag, your bag will not be empty until it rains. First off, I'd start going, shoo, shoo, like just grab McChicken, McDouble, you know, Big Mac, you know, just, I'd start pulling stuff out of there, for one, and selling it, or eating most of it. But that would be a miracle, and it is a Jesus-level miracle, and I think the point was, like, Elijah performs, and now this title says, hey, look, Belgrath, I'm not going to be picky. McDonald's doesn't make Brussels sprouts, I agree. But if anyone could make infinite any food, that's a pretty badass miracle. That could save a lot of lives. Yeah, specifically McDonald's food would save the most lives. I don't know if I've told you guys, I have an addiction for McDonald's. I know it's the worst. I know I'm a horrible person. I'm Monsanto or whatever the hell. That has nothing to do with anything, but I'm sure they're evil in some way. McDonald's Corporation, they have child laborers making all their burgers in India or something, which is probably true. I know all that. Like, whatever. It's a horrible institution. I want more of it, though. That's all. I just want more McDonald's. So tell me whatever you want. McDonald's murdered my parents or whatever. That's all fine, but I want more McDonald's. So anyway, the ultimate miracle for me... this has gone on too far. Okay. And it came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I'm just going to check this reading. We're going too far here. No, that's okay. Because it's been a long time, and there's still one more chapter, but hopefully it's a short one. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin into remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up to Elijah. First, he got a good look at the bosom because he's, you know. Whoa, I have 5 viewers at the end of my podcast? Well, geez, that's cool. Now I have viewers. "Give me thy son." And he took him. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned?" That's what they call it these days. I totally sojourned her. "By slaying her son, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times." That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like it would help. "And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." This is getting a little scary. "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, my son liveth. Thy son liveth, sorry. And the woman said to Elijah, That's not my son." She gets this random baby. She found another baby and expect... No. The woman said, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God." Oh, so the infinite food, the infinite McDonald's miracle, that didn't do it. But now she's like, oh, now I know that you're this, you know, a man of God. Thy word, the Lord, is truth. Okay, so last chapter. Damn it, this is a really long chapter. How did this happen? Is this reading too long for some reason? Let me check my calculations, guys, because this should be the end of the podcast, and we still got a long-ass chapter left. Let's see, 27.54, so that means... Nope, gotta do it. I think... either I fell behind last podcast by a couple paragraphs or what? Because, all right, we'll try to go through this one a little more quickly. I should have just skipped the first few chapters. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go shew thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to shew himself unto Ahab." That means expose yourself, by the way. Extra innings. Yeah. And Ahab called to Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all the fountains of water and all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, in the biblical sense, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, Behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant in the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation, that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. This is all meaningless crap. I'll explain quickly what it means, but this is, we could do without this. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither, whither I know not. I was all ready to say whithersoever, but it just is whither. Whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he find thee, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. And I'll say, you slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, that what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid an hundred of his men, the Lord's prophets, by 50 in a cave, and fed them bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell us, thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of the hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day. Okay, so all that happened was Elijah sees this guy who's like a good guy. He helped save some people. And he says, hey, what up? I'm Elijah. Go tell your king that I'm here. And the guy's like, so you're sentencing me to death, basically, because this Elijah, who, as we well know, is apparently really hideable. I don't know what a good word for that is. Elusive. Because no one can ever find him. And Elijah's telling Obadiah to go tell your king, Ahab, that I'm here. And Obadiah's like, well, I'm going to tell him you're here, and then I'm going to come back. You won't be here, and Ahab will kill me, basically. So that's all that was. And so all that happens is Elijah says, nah, it's good. And then Obadiah's like, oh, okay, that's all I needed. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And Elijah totally boned him, and he was killed. The end. That's not true. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, check on my time here, yeah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And you can trust me to do that, right? Yeah. Because I have no stake in this, as you'll see later. And call ye on the name of your gods. I got a freaking bug. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For ye... putting in a dress... or a tux, you know, like, oh, this is our bullock. It's just hanging out in a tux. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning unto even noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. They did a bunch of Baal runs, basically. Baal, hear us, but there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or he is peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awake. So he's mocking him like, yeah, call unto Baal. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So, I don't know if you're getting the meaning of this, but what's the meaning of this? He's just having, like, a penis measuring contest when it comes to gods. He's just like, all right, everyone get out your dicks. We're going to see whose god is real. That should have been how they do it. Okay, well, I'll get our dicks. Whoever has the longest dick, that means God bless them. And God bless them. And that's the real God. But no, they did a less bicurious way, a less homosexual way, and decided to get some bullocks and get some... So what was I saying? Get some bullocks, and there'd be two of them, right? And whichever one, like, of team, what's the stupid Twilight? I already forget their names. Team whatever and team the other. I can't make that joke because I forget their effing names. I don't care. Team Jacob or something? Team the guy? I don't know. Anyway, there's two teams. And they said, like, whichever one lights on fire, I'm pretty sure is what they're saying. Whichever one lights on fire... That's the one for us. That's the one that has a real God. So the people who are doing Baal runs are just like, Baal, 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 come on. Light our bull on fire. And it never happens, obviously. And so thanks for the comments. I'm trying to hurry through. It's good stuff, but I gotta focus since this is a long one. We're on our deadline here. So yeah, he's just teasing him like, "Where's your bail, man? Where are your epic drops?" Yeah, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill flour and barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, and "This wouldn't by any chance be like flammable fire flammable flour, or like maybe, you know, kerosene instead of water, or something that's flammable." This could be a very, very simple magic trick going on. And they did it the second time, and he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time, and the water ran about the altar, and okay, maybe this is the people who aren't going to light. Okay, so that's just plain water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. AKA, maybe someone just lit a match under it. Maybe someone was going like this. Somehow it lit on fire. I'm sure it could have very easily been done by non-God means. Then the fire of the... Yeah, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God, He is Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down the brook Kishon and slew them there. I love that part, because it sounds like... Uh-oh, my exit music is playing in my head, but I can move it, edit that out later. Because it sounds like they all said, like, oh yeah, God's God, sorry, it's not Baal. And he's like, kill them all. So what was the point of that? Why didn't they just kill them all in the beginning? And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And so Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand, and with a middle finger in it. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he went back to his wilf, and ran before Ahab. The entrance of Jezreel. Okay, that's the end of the reading. Elijah, but then in his grand finale, Elijah decided to make it rain. Elijah did this, made it rain. A miracle! These are American dollars. These don't exist yet. That's a miracle. Elijah sounds like he's the second coming of someone who hasn't come yet. Jesus. He's the second. He's the negative oneth coming of Jesus, the zeroth coming of Jesus, and yeah. So he made it rain with his. He got his wilfs together and made it rain. And that's that. So that's our reading. So once again, new project is Two for Flinching is the name of the podcast. The Facebook is Two for Flinching, but I don't know if you can search it yet because it has to have a certain number of likes. I'll make a special URL for that. I'll post it. I'll link it. The Twitter, that is up now. You can enjoy the fruits of my Twitter labor now if you want. That's up. That's at WW24Flinching. At WW24Flinching. And that's going to be for that other show. And it's funny, I'm tweeting jokes all day. I don't know, you know, they're not really atheism related per se. Sometimes might be, but anyway, that's that. So check that out. I'll have more info for you, as well as new podcast episodes for that show posted soon. I'll link them on the Facebook because you got to be on the Facebook. Anyone who's anyone is on the Facebook. All right. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. I'll see you next time. Adios.